In the Middle Ages, a rabbi asked why it was that when God gave the Torah at Sinai, there was thunder and lightning. And the answer he gave was that God knew when Jews start to hear words of Torah, they fall asleep. That's why we made the music loud. And the truth is, I felt better. I remember when I was a rabbinical student and we were studying the Talmud, and there was this story about how Rabbi Akiva's student started to fall asleep in his class. And I thought, wow, if it can happen to Rabbi Akiva, then we're good. And that tendency, of course, to fall asleep when other people are speaking, which is the ancient definition of a college lecturer, someone who speaks in other people's sleep, is what Churchill once said when he was getting older and he was still a member of Parliament, and one of the other members of Parliament came up to him and said, "Must you fall asleep while I'm speaking?" And Churchill said, "No, it's voluntary." And I bring this up because the truth is that we like to sleep. And I don't just mean literally, although that's true. You may or may not know that the natural state of the human body is sleep. And if it weren't for this hormone called orexins, you would be asleep all the time. So that in fact, sleep is our natural state and wakefulness requires effort. But what is true in the realm of the physical is certainly true in the realm of the spiritual. It takes work to stay awake. No one loves their alarm clock. And the shofar is an alarm clock. It's intended to wake us up, to remind us of what we have forgotten. And what we have forgotten more than anything else is who we are and who we might be. This time of year is not about being woken up, it's about being reawakened. Because that is, in as much as there is a secret of life, the secret of life. Not commitment, but recommitment. Not wakening, but reawakening. Because there have been moments in your life when you're awake. And every nerve ending is alive, and you know what's going on, and you're there, and then you fall back to sleep again. Reb Leib Yitzchak of Berdichev, each year, he used to say the same thing before the high holidays. He would say, "God, you know last year I came before you and said I was going to do better. I wasn't going to sin. I was going to improve myself. And then I went out and I acted the same way as I had the year before. But this year, I really mean it." And I actually think in some ways that's the secret. It is to believe again, even if you have disappointed your own expectations. The Germans have a saying, einmal ist keinmal, once is nothing. To be awake once doesn't count. To commit once to an idea, to a person, to yourself is nothing. It is the dailiness of commitment. It's getting out of bed each morning to do better. That's what this time of year is about. You know, the most important thing in Jewish history in some ways is the building of the temple, but there is no holiday to commemorate the building of the temple. But there is a holiday that commemorates the rededication of the temple. Hanukkah. Remember the story on Hanukkah that they cleaned up the temple and they rededicated it? Did it ever strike you that there's no holiday to commemorate when they built it in the first place? But the dedication isn't as important as the rededication. If this building were built and people didn't keep coming to it, it wouldn't mean anything. So we go through life and we get broken. And we break. We break others. We break ourselves. We do stupid things, coarse things, bad things. Every single one of us. We say that we make mistakes, but we don't only make mistakes. We do bad things. We hurt people. We hurt people we love. We hurt people we barely know. And we'll do it again. But we can be better. We can improve a little bit. The great sin is despair. Is the assumption that because you haven't done better, you can't do better. That you can't recommit. That your soul is in a spiral, which means that it visits the same places over and over again, but at least it is ascending. I think it was this past week or 2 weeks ago, I told a joke to begin my sermon. And then it occurred to me afterwards that I could reverse the joke. The joke was about a rabbi and a doctor. Some of you heard it, but don't supply the punchline. But that would be the first sin of the new year. It's about a rabbi and a doctor, and the doctor says, "You know, Rabbi, sometimes I treat my patients for free," and the rabbi goes, "I do that." The doctor says, "You know, not only do I do that, I write them prescriptions sometimes, and I actually submit the prescription so that they don't have to pay the full amount." The rabbi goes, "I do that." And the doctor now is getting frustrated. He says, no, you don't understand. Sometimes I actually do operations and I don't charge them anything above what insurance covers so that they don't have to pay anything out of pocket if they're poor and they can't afford it. The rabbi goes, "I do that." And now the doctor says, "Look, this is ridiculous. First of all, Rabbi, with all due respect, you don't have patients. You don't prescribe medicine and you certainly don't do surgery." And the rabbi goes, "Oh, no, I didn't mean that. I meant I say good things about myself, too." And as I was walking home, which some of you know is across the street, so it's not like I had a long, ruminative walk, in the 12 steps between here and home, it occurred to me how often when people come to see me in my office, just to talk or for advice, I think the same thing. I do that. I don't always say it, but I think that the fundamental human condition is shared. And that one of the ways we get better is by recognizing that and listening to the reality that you actually can do better. That you can be less coarse. That you can be closer. That you can be more open, you can make fewer mistakes, and you can do fewer bad things. As I was walking up and down the aisles, I saw and picked up this sign from, of all people, Hunter Thompson. It says, "Everyone has two lives. A second one begins when you realize you only have one." Once you know this is it, and that the most precious possession you have is your soul, and that this is your chance to make it better, then you recommit. You start all over again. But you are a little wiser, a little deeper, you know a little bit more than you did last year, and the year before, and the year before that. So here we are, once again, with the chance We started off this evening's service with Shehech Yana, which thanks God for the miracle of reaching this moment. So feel that miracle and use it to make the next moments more alive, more awake, more filled with goodness, with closeness, and with love. When you hear the shofar, know that it is asking you to drag yourself out of your spiritual bed, tired as you may be, because someone out there awaits. And your heart may have been broken 100 times before. You might not want to take the chance of 101. But then you hear the shofar, the broken tones, and then the whole tone. And you know, it's calling you to take a risk with your spirit.